relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. Welcome, dear friends, to America First One-on-One. How often in your life, it doesn't happen frequently to me, do you meet someone, do you hear someone, and you just connect? At a kind of visceral level, at a kind of genetic level, you say, that resonates. I like the cut of that man's jib. And then you say, yeah, brother from another mother. That happened to me recently at an amazing event in New Jersey, a collection of 400 or 500 American patriots. It was called Seat at the Table. And the man I'm talking about stood up on a panel concerned with the topic of courage and manhood, and I've invited him on America First. Pastor John Amanchukwu, welcome to the Salem Network.
Thank you for having me back on your show. It's a pleasure to be on.
You've been on the show before, but now we're going to go deep dive because I want to get to the bottom of everything that you are traveling the country preaching, and especially so excited. You'd written a book. My buddies have picked it up at Regnery. It's called Erased. It's going to be out in a couple of weeks, beginning of October, uncovering the lies of critical race theory and abortion. But let's start with the event where we met, and let's talk about what the message you had for those collected there. I've had this radio show for 3.5 years. A large chunk of that was COVID. And under COVID, I came to a sad realization as a man who chose this country, who sees it as the greatest nation on God's earth, wasn't blessed to be born here, but am now an American citizen, that there's been a tragic loss of the most important virtue. And that was demonstrated by how we reacted as a nation to COVID. And it is the virtue that makes all the other virtues possible. And that is courage, especially courage evinced by men. Men, the job of the male in Western civilization is to stand up for the innocent, to protect the vulnerable, and to fight for the truth. And I didn't see a lot of that under the 2 years of COVID, but your message is much bigger than that. So let's start with your message from that panel, from that speech in New Jersey. Let's talk about what you think is the status of courage amongst your fellow Americans, Pastor John.
Well, you know, when you consider the fact that Marxism seeks to destroy the patriarchal system in the United States of America and in the world in particular, we must resist that. You know, so goes the father, so goes the family and the home. As relates to blacks in particular, you know, blacks have become the cheap prostitutes of the Democratic Party. They screw us and barely pay us, but we keep coming back for more. And the general message that I'm pushing across this nation is that as a people, as a society, we must move away from these ideologies that seek to pit white versus black against each other. I believe that critical race theory is racism. And racism is not a color. It's a sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When it talks about sin there, it's talking about sin in general, all kinds of sin, and the sin of racism in particular. There are many people who are woke who would tell you today that America is a racist country. I don't believe that. America is a racist nation. All right. It's not. I don't believe that. I believe that America is a sinful nation. It's not a racist nation, but it's a sinful nation. And the person that can deal with our sin problem is Jesus Christ. As you see throughout athletics in America, we see where men are now competing against women, and our men are standing back and allowing this to take place. as we watched the University of Penn swimmer jumping into a pool with a bunch of women and compete against them and win and then get nominated as the woman of the year, I'm asking, where are all the real men in America?
Yeah.
You know, if they are trying to destroy the patriarchal system in this country and we're now having questions about what a woman is, it's time for men to stand up and to push back and to resist this godless ideology that has leaked into our culture.
That is the key question. Where are the real men who would stop that man getting into the water with their daughters, who would make a human wall and say, no, you do not do that. You do not destroy the dreams of our daughters. All right. So much to discuss. Let me just zoom in on one sentence you said. You just threw it out there and then you moved on. You said blacks in America have become the cheap prostitutes of the Democrat Party. Powerful words. I think it's undeniable given what the Democrat Party has done to black America in the last 70 years. But I have to ask you, as a black American and traveling the nation as you do, we're going to go on a speaking tour together, you and I need to know, how do people react when you say that, especially when you're doing that in a church, whether it's in North Carolina where you are or elsewhere? How do people react to that incredibly hard language but truthful language?
Well, you know, people appreciate strength. You know, people appreciate courage, but many are afraid to stand up and to speak boldly. Oftentimes, many of our pastors today, they are more in the category of being a wimp rather than a watchman. But society wants to hear the truth about what's going on in the culture, especially from pastors. You know, pastors should have the boldness to stand up and say what is right and what is true, regardless of how people are going to respond. There are countless people who are sending me messages every day, and they're telling me, Pastor John, continue to speak boldly. We appreciate what you're saying. Thank you for speaking up and reminding the black community that they don't have to vote one way. There's this notion that blacks are born liberal, you know, and that's not true. This liberal ideology is convincing blacks that they are victims. I'm not a victim. I'm a black man in America, but I'm not a victim. This is the greatest nation on the face of the planet. It's not a perfect nation, but you know, I'm married. I've been married for 14 years and my wife loves me and I'm not perfect. And if she can love a husband who's not perfect, I can love a nation that's not perfect as well. And this is the message that we want to send to our men and our women, especially our young boys. We don't want our young boys to have a chip on their shoulder and an animus towards whites in America, because that's not productive. But what we want to do is to teach them that if you labor, if you toil, if you work with your hands, you can realize this American dream.
So as an immigrant to this nation who has nothing to do with its prior race problems, my family comes from Poland and Hungary and Lithuania, so we never held slaves, we weren't plantation owners. Let me give you my perspective of somebody who moved here in 2008, for the prior 12 years had come here regularly every summer. I arrived to an America 14 years ago that seemed to have good race relations, that had gotten over it. Then Obama was elected. We had 8 years of him. Then we had BLM and Antifa. And sadly to me, Pastor John, it looks as if race relations have radically deteriorated. If you agree with me, who's responsible?
You are so right. There are people out there who I call woke race hustlers. And their intent is to exploit every isolated case of racism or when something goes in a direction where it may be skewed in someone's who may be white's favor. You know, even with the death of George Floyd, there were countless people who sought to make him an icon and to create racism through that. And I believe this, that racism is true. It does exist. But white supremacy is not the greatest thing that's fighting against the black community. Number one, we need to talk about fatherlessness. I don't want to talk about racism until we deal with and address the responsibility of black men in America. Fatherlessness is destroying the black community, and it's time for black men to remain in their place and to be responsible leaders, to be responsible men that take care of their family. And there are countless black men that do this, you know, but oftentimes the media does a good job of depicting the black man as a buffoon or a clown, or it seems like Hollywood loves to put the black man in a dress and to make him effeminate and weak. But there are countless black men in this country who are stand-up citizens. But we're seeing a growing trend of black men falling into the category where they are not being responsible and doing what's necessarily important to upbuild their community.
Don't worry, Pastor John, they're doing that to white men as well in Hollywood. You can't be a white man and a powerful figure of leadership in the current woke environment. We have so much more to discuss. I'm making a long, long list. The book is Erased. You've got to get it. You've got to pre-order it right now. You've got to follow this gentleman at Rev Woo Truth on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. Right, Pastor John, I should have done this right at the beginning. I just jumped in because I know you, and I wanted us to just get busy with the meat of our discussion. But tell us your story, because you said from the beginning you don't see America as a racist country. You see it as the greatest country. You do see it as a sinful country, which of course it is, because why? Human beings live in the country, and we are all fallen. And if you are a country of sinners, then the nation will be sinful as well. Will you tell us your personal journey and how you got to be Pastor John today, and how you arrived at where you are?
Yes, thank you so much. I was born on what we call the wrong side of the tracks. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. My mother took care of four children, making no more than $28,000 a year. We lived in a shelter for nearly a year when we moved from Elizabeth City, North Carolina to Raleigh, North Carolina. And just to fast forward to today, you know, you can go from living in a shelter in America to now having your book on a shelf in Barnes & Noble's if you work and if you labor and if you are productive. As relates to me writing the book Erased, during the summer of 2020, while liberal mayors and governors were telling people in their state to defund the police and to stand back all around the country, and they're allowing anarchists to burn down city after city, while being at one of the busiest abortion clinics in the Southeast, a black father walked up to me and he said, why are you out here fighting a white man's issue? And this day he was wearing a BLM shirt. He was out there to abort his child, but he tells me, why are you fighting a white man's issue, as if fighting against abortion is a white evangelical problem or issue alone. And what's amazing is that on that day, 70% of the people outside of the abortion clinic were white, but nearly 80 to 85% of the mothers in the clinic that day were black. But this father is going to overlook that and label me as a man who's out here fighting a white man's issue. Now, if I were to ask him what was the definition of critical race theory, he would probably tell me, I don't know. But he was a walking poster child for all things CRT, because in critical race theory, they see racism in every instant and act, and racism is supposedly everywhere. Even when a black man goes to an abortion clinic and aborts his own baby, if there's another black man out there trying to save babies of all colors and creeds, that man has to be racist.
Can I just jump in there? Why are the women black? I mean, we've got to address this issue. Why is, as that amazing poster, that billboard in New York said a few years ago, the most dangerous place for a black child is in her mother's womb? How did we get there?
Well, there was an effort, you know, consider this, from the early 1900s all the way up to the death of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the black marriage rate rivaled that of whites.
Yes.
Okay. And Lyndon B. Johnson came along with this new deal for a great society, which was a bad deal for black people. And he also said that he would have Negroes voting for the Democratic Party for the next 100 years. And so he brought in this social welfare and this government is God approach, and it caused the black father to leave the home, and we replaced the black dad with a $400 check. And then Margaret Sanger, and through the Planned Parenthood, they brought in these abortion clinics into the black neighborhood. Nearly 80% of abortuaries are located in economically disadvantaged neighborhoods where brown and black people are.
Yeah.
And so black women are targeted. They are told to abort their baby. They're given a low dose birth control so that they can become a product of the system, so that the black woman can bring $300 to $500 to an abortion clinic to abort their baby. At the local abortion clinic that I observed that for the past 10 years, nearly 70 to 75% of the moms who come every week are black. And I believe this, if black women and black men would stop going to that abortion clinic would close down overnight.
Right.
We need a revival in this nation, but before we start talking white supremacy and the white man is evil and we should hate the blue-eyed devil and all of that junk that comes from the left, we need to focus on improving our families.
But what happened? I mean, where are the brave pastors? I look at my own church, the Catholic Church, and I'm very, very disappointed under the conditions of COVID and how they acquiesce to this day in some churches with masks and everything else. So where are the pastors? I mean, they're supposed to be the shepherds of the flock. What happened to these communities, Pastor John?
Well, you know, as wokeism has spread throughout this nation, it has crept into much of the theological approaches that many pastors take to rendering the word of God. Many of our pastors today are not preaching a true biblical message. They are preaching what we call syncretism. They are taking the Bible and mixing it with other ideologies.
And turning it into a menu, right? Where they pick the stuff they like and ignore the stuff that's too difficult.
That's it, right? So let's focus on racial reconciliation and white supremacy, but let's not talk about personal accountability and responsibility. So as we see that take place, it has cheapened even the sermons that you hear in many of your black churches, many of which are topical. I'm blessed to be at a church, and I've been here for the past 19 years under a pastor who preaches with a biblical worldview. That means that he reads the scriptures and he interacts and he makes his decisions and he crafts his sermons with a biblical worldview in mind.
Just the mere fact that you have to express appreciation for a church leader who actually cleaves to the Bible is mind-blowing. We're talking to Pastor John Amachukwu. The book is Erased. You've got to pre-order it right now. All right, where should we go next? Let's have a look at my long, long list. Okay, so here's a political question for you, Pastor John. And I ask this again and again and again of all the great, great guests we have on this show who can talk to me about what's happening in the black community. It's clear, you use this, you know, gut punch phrase that black America have become the cheap prostitutes for the Democrats who get to screw them for very little money. Why do they keep voting for them? I mean, things have shifted, and we saw this for the 2020 election. President Trump got more black and Hispanic votes than any Republican since the 1960s. But in the meantime, there seems to be this locked-in dependency where, oh, it's a Democrat, D after their name, I'm black, I'm going to vote for them. After the last 60 years, can you tell me why?
Well, if I knew rightly the answer to that question, I might be a rich man, but I'll try to take a stab at it.
Please.
I think that the battery behind educating the black community on political issues historically has always been the church. And when the church gets in the bed with the liberal movement, then they will begin to preach liberal sermons. And so we have a populace of Christians in the black community who are only hearing one perspective. And if you only hear one perspective, you think that only one agenda is right and or beneficial for your community. I think that blacks need to make sure that we are in the category of being informed on our political choices. We need to go back to praying before we cast our vote. We need to read our Bible to make sure that we support policies that align with scriptures. We need to make sure we have a voter guide and know that we know the background behind many of these politicians that we support. And we need to make sure that we get a copy of Erased as we prepare to cast our vote in the upcoming election. I believe if we do that and make sure that we don't pray one way and vote another, we will begin to shift the landscape in the black community, and there will be a resurgence of blacks recognizing that the conservative movement is the party of Abraham Lincoln, it's the party of Rosa Parks, it's the party of Frederick Douglass, and it's the party of MLK.
Are you seeing good things happening? Are you seeing any kind of positive shift? What's happening out there? Are people waking up? Are they self-emancipating themselves politically?
Yes, they are. We saw through President Donald Trump that, you know, he received the most amount of black votes that any president has received in the past probably 20 years. And so that really came across because he was pushing strong policies. Whether you agree with everything he said on Twitter or Facebook or not, his policies were right for America, and they benefited the black community. And blacks fared well under President Donald Trump. I think if we continue down that direction, we will see a great change in America.
Very exciting times. The book is Erased. Order it right now, out October 4th from my publisher, Regnery, the best conservative book publisher in the world, uncovering the lies of critical race theory and abortion. Explain why critical race theory exists and why it's so dangerous, Pastor John.
Well, it initially started as critical theory from the Frankfurt School of Germany. Men like Karl Marx and Gramsci, those men created critical theory, which is an offshoot of other woke ideologies like the patriarchal system, queer theory, critical race theory, hegemonic power, and so on and so forth. And critical race theory is a floating mass. It's hard to pin it down because it's very elusive. It is in our public school system. You find it in your Fortune 500 companies through diversity, equity, and inclusion. You find it in grievance studies as well in many of our universities and colleges. And really what it seeks to do is to label whites as inherently racist. And I'll be the first to tell you that all people have a propensity to be racist. We have it in us because it comes from a sin nature. And so we just can't label one people group as racist. We have to identify and be honest about it and say that all people have it in them to be racist.
And as a result of that analysis, you would say that perhaps this is the new way to divide us. If dividing us, yes, by class didn't work, then they're picking race instead.
Yes, you're so right. And the church needs to reject all forms and factions of critical race theory. Critical race theory has no place in our churches. What we need is the racial reconciliation of the gospel. The quintessential framework of social justice is found in the Word of God, where the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we do that well, we won't need woke ideologies to direct us on how we should love our brothers and sisters in Christ.
It's all about the good book and understanding the principles it has handed down to us for thousands of years. Dear friends, don't forget we are on all social media, excluding the fascistic YouTube, but everywhere else, Truth Social, Twitter, Instagram. Also, of course, we are on Rumble, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. Subscribe today and never miss any of our content. All right, let's get to the really big topic of the age, I believe. And this is, I think, why we're going to take the stage together in the next few months. Something's happening out there with young men in Western civilization, let's say in the English-speaking world. And all the evidence you need is the absolutely meteoric success of this previously quiet-spoken, relatively introverted psychology and psychiatry professor called Jordan Peterson, a man whose book, 12 Rules for Life, has sold tens of millions of copies, who fills out theaters on his global speaking tour. And there has to be a reason why. This guy isn't a football player. He's not some kind of Tom Cruise, John Wayne movie star. But he has a message that is resonating about taking responsibility for yourself and also, I think, let's be explicit, the assault on manhood and what it means to be a man. Explain to us why this is happening, and is it a good sign that so many young men are looking for answers, and what has to happen next? What is phase two?
Right. Well, I'll give you a biblical answer for that. I'll start there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, and let all you do be done with love." So the Bible is replete. It's clear. It tells us to act like men. What does that mean? Don't act like a woman. Be strong, be courageous. Men protect, men shepherd, men lead. But there is this desire within the culture for men to be reluctant of their responsibility. It was once said that manhood can be defined today by the ball field, the billfold, and the bedroom. The bedroom, you know, most men get together in the culture and they want to discuss, how many women have you had? How many women have you slept with? Do you have a girlfriend? The kid is 6 years old and you want to know, does he have a girlfriend? We talk about the billfold. How much money do you make? How successful are you? How many nice, fancy cars do you have? How many zeros or commas are in your bank account? You know, these are the things that oftentimes society focuses on. You know, but what we need to do is get back to the true essence of being a godly man. And God has given men a responsibility. In the first man, Adam, was given the role of tilling the ground, of working and laboring. And today we see in this culture where men are becoming more and more lazy and they don't want to work. They want to sit at home and live off the government and or the system. But the Bible says if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. And if a man can't take care of his relatives, then he's worse than an infidel. God rejects this ideology of weakness in men. And as we see this take place across our country, that's why it has become popular for even transgenderism to creep into the culture, for men to compete in women's sports. And we're seeing this across the board. And now more than ever, we need men to stand up and to define the true essence of being a man.
In this age, Pastor John, where everything seems to be politicized, from, you know, who races in a swim team in college to whether your child could go to school without a mask, I actually see one issue above all else that is going to be, in a good sense, the trigger. And you just mentioned it, and I want us to drill down on this for a second. I think the extremism of the transgender movement, when we're talking about abusing children, removing their sexual organs, giving them hormone therapy as minors, I think everything else aside, this will be the catalytic issue for mothers, for fathers, yes, who don't see themselves as political, don't see themselves as troublemakers, but who say, no, this is wrong. Do you think this is where the left perhaps has overstepped and miscalculated?
Yes, this is what's coming down the pike. And not only will it be through transgenderism, but through pedophilia. We'll see a day in our nation where, you know, a man, you know, since love is love in our culture, you know, a man who is 58, he can love a child who's 10. And that's where we
I want people to not overreact to what you're saying. This is the justification that was given for homosexual marriage, which isn't marriage, yes, by the way. Let me just be clear. Any conservative who says that man has a husband, you're wrong and you are perverting millennia of objective truth and natural law. But back then, do you remember when they normalized gay marriage? They said, yes, well, you should be allowed to love who you want, right, Pastor John?
Right. That's right. Yeah, they said that you should be able to love who you want to love, and what you do in your bedroom,
yes,
should be your business. But watch this. It moved from what took place in the bedroom to now men wanting to commandeer our restrooms. And in, yes, the state of North Carolina, we had a bill called HB2 where we saw transgenders. The man could wake up in the morning and know that his name is Thomas, but he says, you know, I'm Thomasina today. And he can go into whatever restroom he wants right beside our wives and our daughters. And we are supposed to accept that. And we have politicians who sign on to that. And there is no political party in this nation that is pushing that God awful agenda like the Democratic Party.
But
transgenderism.
Go ahead.
Those who are transgender, they represent what you call the two-spirit community. If he's born a man, he has the spirit of a man in him, and through some psychological problem, he sees himself also as a woman. So there's two spirits fighting and wrestling in the heart of this man. There's a gentleman by the name of Walt Heyer who released a book, and he came to our church, and we put him up and allowed him to talk to our congregation. And Walt Heyer, you know, born a male, he went through the entire process where he cut off all of his genitals, only to 10 years later, you know, the dominant spirit that God placed in him, you know, because doctors do not assign gender. God does. You know, doctors have eyes. They look and they see, wow, that looks like a scrotum. And they say, yeah, that's a man. So Walt Heyer came to the realizations, you know, he cut off his private parts, but he wants to now go back to who he once was or what God had created him to be. And it's too late. We need to label parents who are pumping children with these hormones and cutting off their body parts. We need to label that as child abuse. And that's what it is.
Yeah, and these individuals should be arrested. And the fact that an erstwhile alleged putative conservative network like Fox News a month ago actually showed repeatedly a package about parents who did this to their child is an absolute utter disgrace and tells you how real this culture war is, even on our side. The book is Erased. We're talking to Pastor John Amanchukwu. You can follow him on Twitter at RevWooTruth and also at johnamanchukwu.com. He is the founder of the Erased Project. Okay, last big question for you. I could talk about this for hours, but we will as we go on our tour after your book is launched. Pastor John, what is your message to those who either young men in their teens or their 20s who feel as if they've been under assault, feel as if it's difficult for them to find meaning in their lives? What do you say to that generation of men? And then what do you say to our generation, people who are established, who are men, and don't know what their role is in taking back our civilization and fighting for the truth? I'm a radio show host. You're a pastor. But everybody who is a man has to be engaged. So what do you say to those two different demographics?
Well, you know, men are looking for purpose.
Yeah.
They're looking for their calling, which further gives them their identity. When you talk to a man, the first thing that comes up is, what do you do?
Yeah.
And first and foremost, we are created in the image of God, and we are set forth to reverence and to glorify God. The reality is you can be a successful business owner. You can work on Wall Street. You can make hit films in Hollywood. You can be an athlete and make over $100 million a year. But if you are empty, if your soul is empty, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you're going to feel empty in life, because life is but a vapor. Life is short. The focal part of our life is the life beyond this moment. You know, society says, YOLO, you only live once. So therefore, do what you want to do with your time. You know, go and sell your wild oats. Go and run the streets. Have as many women as possible. Drink all of the scotch that you desire. Get drunk. Go home and do what you want, right? That's what society says. But we should drop the L from YOLO and replace it with a D, because you only die once. We are all living to live again. And there's a bigger meaning and purpose behind life beyond how much money we have in our bank account, beyond our billfold, beyond the bedroom, and beyond the ball field.
That was absolutely pitch perfect, as if he knew what I was going to ask him. It's not YOLO, it's YODO, and you only die once, and you are living to be reborn. So get it right, guys. Understand that meaning comes from having a soul that is full, not a soul that is empty. Well, I can't wait for the book to be out. I can't wait to go on tour with you. God bless you every single day for what you do, my friend. The book is Erased. Order it right now. Uncovering the lies of critical race theory and abortion. And follow the good pastor at Rev Woo Truth on Twitter and at Aman Chukwu, johnamanchukwu.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you enjoy the show, support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell, who has been canceled. Yes, they've canceled his products at Walmart. Why? Because he's a conservative. Please support him today. Go to mypillow.com. Use my name to get up to 66% off. Let's show that man of God some love. That's mypillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.